Emotions, that hidden force that drives us and shapes our lives, can sometimes be a puzzling mystery. We might feel like we're drowning in a whirlpool of conflicting feelings, searching for a guide to better understand ourselves. Have you ever wondered what emotions really are? How do they affect your life? Do you sometimes feel like a prisoner to your negative emotions, wishing you could control them? In this video, we'll embark on an exploratory journey into the world of emotions. We'll learn how to understand our feelings, manage them wisely, and use them as a compass to guide us toward a happier and more fulfilling life. Whether you're struggling with anxiety, anger, or just feeling lost, we're here to help you navigate the complex landscape of your emotions. Remember, you're not alone on this journey. We're all in this together. So let's dive into this exciting journey and discover the power of our emotions. If you enjoyed this video or found it helpful, please give it a like and comment. Keep it up below. And don't forget to share it with your family and friends. Let's get started. 1. How your survival mechanism affects your emotions. All right, folks, let's get real for a second. Our brains, as amazing as they are, weren't designed for 21st century living. They're kinda like old school software running on a brand new computer. See, back in the day, when our ancestors were dodging saber-toothed tigers and foraging for berries, survival was the name of the game. Their brains evolved to be hypervigilant, constantly scanning for threats and focusing on the negative. Now, flash forward to today. We're not exactly facing down predators on the daily, but our brains are still wired for that fight-or-flight response. That's why a single negative comment can sting more than a dozen compliments, or why we stress about a work presentation like it's a life-or-death situation. The ancient Stoic philosophers, like Epictetus and Marcus Aurelius, understood this struggle. They taught that we can't control what happens to us, but we can control how we react to it. In today's world, that's more important than ever. We're bombarded with negativity, from the news to social media to just everyday life. If we let our survival instincts run the show, we'll be constantly stressed and anxious. But here's the good news. We have the power to reprogram our minds. We can choose to focus on the positive, to challenge our negative thoughts, and to cultivate a sense of inner peace. It takes practice, but it's absolutely possible. So, next time you find yourself spiraling into negativity, remember, your brain is just doing its job. It's trying to protect you, but it's a little outdated. Take a deep breath, reframe the situation, and choose a more empowering response. 2. What is the ego? Okay, so we've talked about how our brains are kinda hardwired for survival, which can sometimes mess with our emotions. Now let's talk about another big player in the emotion game, the ego. The ego is basically the story you tell yourself about who you are. It's built up over time through your thoughts, experiences, and the things people tell you. But here's the kicker. It's not really real. It's a mental construct, a story we create to make sense of the world and our place in it. Think about it. Events themselves don't have any inherent meaning. We give them meaning through our own interpretations. And we often identify with things that are external to us, our job, our possessions, even our relationships. This attachment to external things can lead to all sorts of emotional turmoil. If your sense of self is tied up in your job, losing that job can feel like losing a part of yourself. If you identify strongly with a particular belief system, someone challenging that belief can feel like a personal attack. Now, here's where things get interesting. The level of self-awareness you have directly impacts how much your ego controls you. If you're not even aware of your ego, it's basically running the show. But as you become more self-aware, you start to see through the illusions your ego creates. You realize that your thoughts and feelings aren't the whole truth, and that there's a deeper level of being beyond the ego. The ego, in its essence, is kind of like a survival mechanism for your sense of self. It wants to protect itself, and it does that by constantly seeking validation and reinforcement. That's why we crave approval, compare ourselves to others, and sometimes even put others down to feel better about ourselves. But here's the thing, the ego's quest for validation is a never-ending game. There's always someone richer, more successful, more attractive. If we let our ego drive the bus, we'll always be chasing after something we can never fully attain. So, how do we break free from the ego's grip? That's what we'll explore in the next few lessons. We'll talk about the nature of emotions, the things that influence them, and most importantly, how to master them so we can live more fulfilling and joyful lives. 3. The nature of emotions. All right, so we've covered the survival mechanism and the ego, two major players that can sometimes hijack our emotional well-being. Now, let's dive into the heart of the matter. What are emotions, really? Think of emotions like waves in the ocean. They rise and fall, sometimes gently lapping at the shore, other times crashing with intense force. They're a natural part of the human experience, and they serve an important purpose. Emotions are signals from our bodies and minds, telling us something about our current state. They're like messengers, delivering information about our needs, desires, and boundaries. For example, if you feel angry, it might be a signal that something is unjust or that a boundary has been crossed. If you feel sad, it might be a sign that you're grieving a loss or feeling disconnected. But here's the thing, emotions are temporary. They come and go, like those waves in the ocean. They're not who we are. They're just something we experience. The problem arises when we get caught up in our emotions, when we identify with them and let them define us. That's when we start saying things like, "I am angry," or "I am sad." Remember, you are not your emotions. You are the vast ocean, and your emotions are the waves that move through you. Now, let's talk about why negative emotions can be so tricky. They tend to be more intense and longer lasting than positive emotions. That's because, as we discussed earlier, our brains are wired for survival. They're designed to pay more attention to threats and dangers, even if those threats are just perceived. So when we experience a negative emotion, it can trigger a whole cascade of thoughts and reactions. We might start ruminating on the past, worrying about the future, or criticizing ourselves. This can create a downward spiral, making it harder and harder to break free from the grip of negativity. But don't worry, we're not going to leave you hanging. In the next section, we'll explore the various factors that impact your emotions, from sleep to your environment to the words you use. And we'll give you practical tools to help you navigate the ups and downs of your emotional landscape. So stay tuned, keep an open mind, and remember, you have the power to master your emotions and create a life filled with joy, peace, and fulfillment. 4. The impact of sleep on your mood. All right, let's talk about something we all love or wish we loved more. Sleep. Now, you might think, what does sleep have to do with my emotions? Well, let me tell you, it's a huge deal. Think of your brain like a smartphone. When you use it all day, scrolling through social media, checking emails, watching videos, it starts to get sluggish, right? the battery drains, apps start glitching, and you just want to plug it in and recharge. Your brain is the same way. When you don't get enough sleep, it's like running on low battery. Your cognitive functions slow down, your mood takes a nosedive, and you're more likely to feel irritable, anxious, and even depressed. On the flip side, when you get enough quality sleep, it's like hitting the reset button on your brain. You wake up feeling refreshed, energized, and ready to take on the day. You're better able to handle stress, regulate your emotions, and make positive choices. Now, I know what you're thinking. Easier said than done, right? In today's fast-paced world, it can be tough to prioritize sleep, but trust me, it's worth it. Think of sleep as an investment in your emotional well-being. It's like putting money in the bank. The more you invest, the more you'll have to draw on when you need it. So, how much sleep do you actually need? Most adults need around 7 to 8 hours of quality sleep per night. But it's not just about the quantity. It's also about the quality. Make sure your bedroom is cool, dark, and quiet. Avoid caffeine and alcohol before bed. And try to establish a consistent sleep schedule, even on weekends. Remember, taking care of your sleep is taking care of your emotions. So make it a priority and watch your mood and overall well-being soar. 5. Using your body to influence your emotions. All right, let's get physical. No, we're not talking about hitting the gym, although that's great too. We're talking about how your body and your emotions are like two peas in a pod. They're constantly influencing each other, whether you realize it or not. Think about it. When you're feeling stressed or anxious, your body tenses up. Your heart races, and you might even get that knot in your stomach. On the other hand, when you're feeling happy and relaxed, your body feels loose, your breathing is easy, and you might even have a smile on your face. The cool thing is, we can actually use this mind-body connection to our advantage. By changing our physical state, we can actually shift our emotions. It's like a backdoor hack into your emotional system. So let's say you're feeling down in the dumps. Instead of wallowing in those negative feelings, try changing your posture. Sit up straight, shoulders back, head held high. Take a few deep breaths and notice how your body starts to feel a little lighter. Or, if you're feeling anxious, try some gentle movement. Go for a walk in nature, do some yoga stretches, or even just dance around your living room. The physical activity will help release tension and boost those feel-good endorphins. Now, I know what you're thinking. This sounds too simple, but trust me, it works. Our bodies and minds are deeply interconnected, and by taking care of one, we're also taking care of the other. The ancient philosophers understood this too. They emphasized the importance of physical health and exercise for overall well-being. They knew that a healthy body leads to a healthy mind, and vice versa. So, let's make a pact, right here, right now. Let's start paying more attention to our bodies and how they're feeling. Let's use movement, posture, and breath to shift our emotions and create a more positive state of being. Remember, you have the power to influence your emotions, not just through your thoughts, but also through your body. So get up, move around, and let your body lead the way to a happier, healthier you. 6. Using your thoughts to influence your emotions. All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty of how your thoughts can shape your emotions. It's like having a DJ booth in your head, spinning tracks that can either pump you up or bring you down. The good news? You're the DJ, and you have the power to choose the playlist. The way you interpret events and the stories you tell yourself about them play a massive role in how you feel. Let's say you get stuck in traffic. You could think, This is the worst. I'm gonna be late. My boss is gonna kill me. My whole day is ruined. That kind of thinking is gonna send your stress levels through the roof. But what if you thought instead, okay, traffic happens. I'll let my boss know I'm running late. Maybe I can listen to a podcast while I wait, or even just take a few deep breaths and enjoy the forced downtime. That's a whole different vibe, right? The ancient Stoics were all about this idea of controlling your thoughts. They believed that external events don't have the power to make us unhappy. It's our judgment of those events that causes suffering. So, how do we become the master DJs of our minds? It starts with awareness. Pay attention to your thoughts throughout the day. What kind of stories are you telling yourself? Are they empowering or disempowering? When you notice negative thoughts creeping in, challenge them. Ask yourself, is this thought really true? Is there another way to look at this situation? Remember, you have the power to choose your thoughts, and your thoughts have the power to shape your emotions. So choose wisely, my friends. Choose thoughts that uplift you, inspire you, and bring you peace. 7. Using your words to influence your emotions. All right, let's talk about the power of words. You know how they say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, that's a load of baloney. Words have immense power. They can uplift, inspire, and heal. But they can also wound, discourage, and tear down. Think about it. How do you feel when someone compliments you sincerely? Or when you read an inspiring quote that resonates with your soul? Words can literally change your brain chemistry, triggering the release of feel-good hormones like dopamine and oxytocin. On the other hand, negative words, whether spoken to you or by you, can have the opposite effect. They can activate your stress response, leading to feelings of anxiety, anger, or even depression. The ancient philosophers understood this well. They emphasized the importance of mindful speech, recognizing that our words have the power to create harmony or discord, both within ourselves and in our relationships with others. So, how can we harness the power of words to influence our emotions in a positive way? It starts with awareness. Pay attention to the words you use, both internally and externally. Are they kind, compassionate, and uplifting? Or are they negative, judgmental, and self-critical? When you catch yourself using negative self-talk, try reframing it in a more positive light. Instead of saying, "I'm so stupid, I can't believe I made that mistake," try saying, "Everyone makes mistakes. I'll learn from this and do better next time." Also, be mindful of the words you use with others. Choose words that build people up, not tear them down. Remember, your words have the power to make someone's day or to break their spirit. Finally, surround yourself with positive words. Read inspiring books, listen to uplifting podcasts, and follow people on social media who spread positivity and encouragement. Remember, your words are a powerful tool. Use them wisely, and watch your emotional well-being flourish. 8. How your breathing affects your emotions. Okay, let's take a deep breath together, shall we? In through the nose, out through the mouth. Ah, feels good, doesn't it? Now, you might be wondering, what's the big deal about breathing? We do it all the time without even thinking about it. Well, my friends, breathing is way more powerful than you might realize. It's like a direct line to your nervous system, and it can either calm you down or amp you up, depending on how you do it. Think about it. When you're stressed or anxious, your breathing tends to be shallow and rapid, right? It's like your body is in panic mode, gasping for air. But when you're relaxed and at ease, your breathing is slow and deep, filling your lungs and sending a message of calm to your brain. The ancient yogis knew this, and they developed all sorts of breathing techniques, pranayama, to control their energy and emotions. They understood that the breath is a powerful tool for self-regulation. So, how can we use our breath to hack our emotions? It's simple. When you're feeling stressed or overwhelmed, take a few slow, deep breaths. Inhale deeply through your nose, filling your belly with air. Then, exhale slowly through your mouth. Repeat a few times and notice how your body starts to relax and your mind begins to calm down. On the other hand, if you're feeling sluggish or unmotivated, try some energizing breaths. Inhale quickly through your nose, then exhale forcefully through your mouth, like you're blowing out candles on a birthday cake. Repeat a few times and feel that surge of energy coursing through your veins. Breathing is like a magic trick you can perform anytime, anywhere. It's free, it's easy, and it's incredibly effective. So next time you're feeling emotionally out of whack, just remember to breathe. Your breath is your anchor, your lifeline, your key to inner peace. 9. How your environment affects your emotions. All right, let's talk about your surroundings, folks. The places you hang out, the people you're with, the stuff you see and hear, all of that plays a major role in how you feel. It's like your environment is constantly whispering, or sometimes shouting, messages to your subconscious, shaping your mood and influencing your thoughts. Think about it. Have you ever walked into a brightly lit, clean and organized room and instantly felt a sense of calm and clarity? Or maybe you've been in a crowded, noisy place and felt your anxiety levels start to rise. That's your environment at work, folks. The ancient philosophers understood this connection between our surroundings and our inner state. They believed that cultivating a harmonious environment was essential for cultivating a harmonious mind. So, how can we create an environment that supports our emotional well-being? It starts with awareness. Take a look around your home, your workspace, the places you spend the most time. Are they cluttered, chaotic and draining? Or are they clean, organized and uplifting? If your environment is feeling a bit chaotic, it's time for a makeover. Declutter your space, add some plants, let in some natural light, and surround yourself with things that bring you joy. Also, pay attention to the people you spend time with. Are they positive, supportive, and uplifting? Or are they negative, draining, and bringing you down? Choose your company wisely, my friends. Surround yourself with people who lift you up and inspire you to be your best self. Finally, be mindful of the information you consume. Are you constantly bombarded with negative news and social media drama? Or are you seeking out content that's positive, educational, and inspiring? Remember, garbage in, garbage out. Your environment is a powerful force, so make it work for you, not against you. Create a space that nurtures your soul, surrounds yourself with positive people, and feed your mind with uplifting content. Your emotions will thank you for it. 10. How music affects your emotions. Okay, let's turn up the volume and talk about the incredible power of music. Now, we all know that music can make us feel things, right? It can make us want to dance, cry, or even just chill out and relax. But have you ever stopped to think about why music has such a profound effect on our emotions? Well, it turns out that music has a direct line to our brains and bodies. It can alter our heart rate, breathing patterns, and even brainwave activity. It can trigger the release of feel-good chemicals like dopamine and endorphins, and it can even activate memories and emotions associated with certain songs or genres. The ancient Greeks understood this connection between music and emotions. They believed that music had the power to heal the soul and promote harmony in the body and mind. So, how can we use music to hack our emotions? It's simple. Choose the right soundtrack for your desired mood. Feeling down? Put on some upbeat, energetic tunes that make you want to move and groove. Need to relax and de-stress? Opt for some calming instrumental music or nature sounds. Want to get pumped up for a workout or a big presentation? Blast some high-energy rock or hip-hop. Music is like a magic potion for your emotions. It can transport you to another time and place, evoke powerful memories, and instantly shift your mood. So, next time you're feeling a certain way, put on some music that matches that feeling, or choose music that can help you shift into a more desired state. Remember, you have the power to create your own emotional soundtrack. So turn up the volume, let the music move you, and watch your emotions transform. 11. How emotions are formed. All right, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of how emotions actually form. It's like a recipe, with a few key ingredients that come together to create those feelings we experience. The first ingredient is an event. This could be anything from getting a promotion at work to bumping into an old friend on the street. The second ingredient is your interpretation of that event. This is where things get interesting. Two people can experience the same event, but have completely different emotional reactions based on how they interpret it. For example, let's say you get a flat tire on your way to an important meeting. One person might interpret this as a major catastrophe, thinking, "This is the worst. I'm going to be late. I'll miss the meeting. My boss will be furious." That interpretation is likely to lead to feelings of stress, anxiety, and frustration. But another person might interpret the same event in a more neutral or even positive way, thinking, "Okay, flat tire, no big deal. I'll call a tow truck, let my boss know I'll be late, and maybe I can even catch up on some work while I wait." That interpretation might lead to feelings of acceptance, calmness, or even a sense of opportunity. The third ingredient is your physiological response. This is where your body gets involved. When you interpret an event in a certain way, your brain sends signals to your body, triggering physical sensations like a racing heart, sweaty palms, or a knot in your stomach. Finally, these physical sensations are labeled as an emotion. So that racing heart and sweaty palms might be labeled as anxiety or fear, while a relaxed body and a smile might be labeled as happiness or contentment. Now, here's the key takeaway. You have the power to influence your emotions by changing your interpretation of events. It's like having a remote control for your feelings. Instead of letting your automatic thoughts and reactions dictate how you feel, you can consciously choose to reframe situations in a more positive light. This takes practice, but it's a game changer. So next time you experience a challenging event, pause for a moment and observe your thoughts and interpretations. Are they serving you? Are they creating emotions that empower you or hold you back? Remember, you're the one in charge of your emotional state. Choose your interpretations wisely and watch your well-being transform. 12. Changing your interpretation. All right, let's talk about the power of perspective. You know how sometimes two people can see the same thing and have totally different reactions? That's because the way we interpret events, the meaning we give them, has a huge impact on how we feel about them. Think about it. Let's say you're at a party and someone spills a drink on you. One person might get super angry, thinking, "This person is so clumsy and inconsiderate. They ruined my outfit." That interpretation is going to lead to feelings of anger and frustration. But another person might just shrug it off, thinking, "Accidents happen. No big deal. I can clean it up." That interpretation might lead to feelings of acceptance and understanding. The ancient Stoics were all about this idea of changing your interpretation of events. They believed that it's not the events themselves that cause us suffering, but our judgment of those events. So, how do we change our interpretations and create more positive emotions? It starts with awareness. When something happens that triggers a negative emotion, pause for a moment and ask yourself, "What am I telling myself about this situation? Is there another way to look at it?" Try to challenge your automatic thoughts and assumptions. Are they really true? Are they helpful? Or are they just creating unnecessary suffering? Remember, you have the power to choose your interpretations. You can choose to see the good in every situation, to find the silver lining, to focus on the lessons learned. It's like having a pair of magical glasses that can transform your reality. Instead of seeing the world through a lens of negativity and fear, you can choose to see it through a lens of positivity and possibility. So, next time you're faced with a challenging situation, remember, you have the power to change your interpretation, and your interpretation has the power to change your emotions. Choose wisely, my friends. Choose interpretations that empower you, uplift you, and bring you peace. 13. Letting go of your emotions. All right, let's talk about something that can be a bit of a struggle for all of us: letting go of our emotions. It's like holding on to a hot coal. It burns, it hurts, and it doesn't do you any good. But sometimes it feels impossible to just let go. The thing is, emotions are like visitors. They come knocking at your door, sometimes welcome, sometimes not. You can invite them in for a cup of tea, chat for a bit, and then show them the door when it's time for them to leave. But if you cling to them, try to force them to stay, or get caught up in their drama, they'll overstay their welcome and wreak havoc in your house, aka your mind. The ancient Buddhists had a great metaphor for this. They compared emotions to clouds passing through the sky. You can observe them, appreciate their beauty, but you don't need to cling to them or let them define you. So, how do we let go of emotions, especially the negative ones that tend to stick around like unwanted house guests? It starts with acceptance. Acknowledge the emotion, feel it fully, but don't judge it or resist it. It's like saying, "Okay, I see you, anger, or sadness, or fear. I feel you, but I'm not going to let you take over." Next, try to observe the emotion without getting caught up in its story. Notice the physical sensations in your body, the thoughts that arise, but don't get entangled in them. It's like watching a movie. You can experience the emotions of the characters, but you know it's not your own story. Finally, practice detachment. Remind yourself that this emotion is temporary. It will pass. It's like a wave that rises and falls, eventually returning to the vastness of the ocean. Remember, you are not your emotions. You are the vast sky, and your emotions are the clouds that pass through. You can observe them, learn from them, but you don't need to cling to them or let them define you. Letting go of emotions takes practice, but it's a skill that can liberate you from unnecessary suffering. So, next time you're feeling overwhelmed by an emotion, remember to breathe, observe, and let go. You'll be amazed at the peace and freedom you'll find on the other side. 14. conditioning your mind to experience more positive emotions. All right, let's talk about rewiring your brain for happiness. It's like upgrading your mental software, installing those positive vibes and uninstalling the negativity bugs. Sounds pretty good, right? Now, we've already talked about how our brains are kinda wired to focus on the negative. It's that whole survival mechanism thing, always scanning for threats and dangers. But here's the cool part. We can actually train our brains to see the good, to focus on the positive, and to create more joy in our lives. It's like going to the gym for your mind. The more you work those positive mental muscles, the stronger they become. And just like physical exercise, it takes time and effort. But the results are so worth it. So, how do we condition our minds for positivity? One powerful technique is gratitude. Take a few minutes each day to focus on the things you're grateful for. It could be your health, your family, your friends, a roof over your head, a delicious meal, anything that brings you joy. Another technique is positive affirmations. These are short, powerful statements that you repeat to yourself, like, I am worthy, I am capable, or I am loved. By repeating these affirmations, you're essentially reprogramming your subconscious mind to believe these positive truths. You can also try visualization. Close your eyes and imagine yourself achieving your goals, living your dreams, and feeling happy and fulfilled. This helps to create a positive mental blueprint for your future. And don't forget the power of positive self-talk. Be kind to yourself, encourage yourself, and celebrate your successes. Remember, your mind is like a garden. If you plant seeds of negativity, that's what will grow. But if you plant seeds of positivity, gratitude, and love, you'll cultivate a beautiful and flourishing inner landscape. So, let's get planting, my friends. Water those positive thoughts, weed out the negativity, and watch your emotional garden bloom. 15. Changing your emotions by changing your behavior. All right, let's talk about the power of action. You know how sometimes you can be feeling down, but then you force yourself to go for a run or do something nice for someone else, and suddenly your mood starts to lift. That's because your behavior and your emotions are like dance partners. They're constantly influencing each other. Think about it. When you're feeling happy and confident, you're more likely to take action, try new things, and put yourself out there. On the other hand, when you're feeling sad or discouraged, you might withdraw, isolate yourself, and avoid taking any risks. The cool thing is, we can actually use this connection to our advantage. By changing our behavior, we can actually shift our emotions. It's like giving your mood a little nudge in the right direction. So, let's say you're feeling a bit down. Instead of staying curled up on the couch watching Netflix, try doing something that usually makes you feel good. Maybe it's going for a walk in nature, listening to your favorite music, or spending time with loved ones. Or if you're feeling anxious about a presentation, instead of avoiding it and letting the anxiety build up, try practicing your presentation, visualizing yourself succeeding, and focusing on your strengths. The ancient philosophers understood this too. They emphasized the importance of taking action and living in alignment with your values, even when it's difficult. They knew that action creates momentum, and momentum can lead to positive emotional shifts. So let's make a commitment, right here, right now. Let's stop letting our emotions dictate our behavior, and instead, let's use our behavior to influence our emotions. Let's take action, even when we don't feel like it, and watch the magic happen. Remember, You have the power to change your emotional state, not just by thinking differently, but also by acting differently. So get out there, take that first step, and let your behavior lead the way to a happier, more empowered you. 16. Changing your emotions by changing your environment. All right, let's talk about the power of place. You know how some places just feel good, like a cozy coffee shop, a sunny beach, or even just your own bedroom when it's clean and tidy. And then there are those places that just bring you down, a cluttered office, a crowded subway, or maybe even a certain person's house where the energy just feels off. Well, that's your environment talking to you, folks. The spaces we inhabit, the people we surround ourselves with, the sights and sounds we experience, they all have a direct impact on our emotions. It's like your environment is a giant mood ring, reflecting and influencing your inner state. The ancient philosophers were all about creating harmonious environments. They understood that our surroundings can either nurture our souls or drain our energy. So, how can we use our environment to boost our emotional well-being? It's all about creating spaces that make us feel good. Start by decluttering your home and workspace. Get rid of anything that doesn't bring you joy or serve a purpose. A clean and organized space can do wonders for your mental clarity and peace of mind. Next, add some elements that uplift your spirits. Maybe it's a vase of fresh flowers, a cozy throw blanket, or some inspiring artwork. Surround yourself with things that make you smile and feel good. Also, pay attention to the lighting and sounds in your environment. Natural light is a mood booster, so open those curtains and let the sunshine in. And if you're feeling stressed, try playing some calming music or nature sounds. Finally, be mindful of the people you spend time with. Are they positive, supportive, and uplifting, or are they negative, draining, and bringing you down? Remember, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with, so choose your company wisely. Your environment is like a second skin, constantly interacting with your inner world. So make it a beautiful, inspiring, and nurturing one. Your emotions will thank you for it. 17. Short-term and long-term solutions to deal with negative emotions. Okay, let's face it, life throws curveballs, and sometimes those curveballs leave us feeling down in the dumps. It's totally normal to experience negative emotions, but the key is to have a game plan for dealing with them, both in the short term and the long term. Think of it like a first aid kit for your emotions. You need some quick fixes for those immediate ouch moments, but you also need some long-term strategies to build resilience and prevent those emotional wounds from festering. Short-term solutions. Take a breather. When those negative emotions hit, take a step back and literally breathe. Deep, slow breaths can help calm your nervous system and give you some space from the intensity of the feeling. Move your body. Get those endorphins flowing. Go for a run, dance it out, or just do some jumping jacks. Physical activity can be a great way to shift your emotional state. Talk it out. Don't bottle it up. Share how you're feeling with a trusted friend, family member, or therapist. Sometimes just venting can make a world of difference. Distract yourself. Sometimes you just need a break from the intensity of your emotions. Watch a funny movie, read a good book, or do something that brings you joy. Long-term solutions. Identify your triggers. What situations or people tend to bring up negative emotions for you? Once you know your triggers, you can start to develop strategies for dealing with them. Challenge your negative thoughts. Are those thoughts really true? Are they helpful? Try to reframe negative thoughts in a more positive or realistic light. Practice mindfulness and meditation. These practices can help you become more aware of your emotions and learn to observe them without getting caught up in them. Cultivate gratitude. Focus on the good things in your life, big and small. Gratitude can be a powerful antidote to negativity. Seek professional help if needed. If you're struggling to manage your emotions on your own, don't hesitate to reach out to a therapist or counselor. They can provide support and guidance on your journey to emotional well-being. Remember, dealing with negative emotions is a process, not a one-time fix. It takes time, effort, and self-compassion. But with the right tools and strategies, you can learn to navigate the ups and downs of life with grace and resilience. 18. How emotions can guide you in the right direction. All right, let's switch gears a bit and talk about how emotions can actually be your friends, not just foes. Yeah, you heard me right. Emotions, even the negative ones, can be like trusty compasses, pointing you towards what you truly need and desire in life. Think about it. When you feel frustrated or unfulfilled in your job, that's a signal that something's not right. It's your inner voice saying, "Hey, this isn't aligned with your purpose. It's time to explore other options." Or when you feel anxious in a certain relationship, that's a sign that something needs to change. Maybe it's time to set some boundaries, communicate your needs more clearly, or even walk away from a situation that's no longer serving you. The ancient philosophers saw emotions as valuable sources of information. They believed that by paying attention to our feelings, we could gain insights into our true selves and make choices that lead to greater happiness and fulfillment. So, how do we tap into the wisdom of our emotions? It starts with listening. When you experience an emotion, don't just try to suppress it or distract yourself from it. Instead, pause, take a deep breath, and ask yourself, "What is this emotion trying to tell me? Is it a sign that you need to make a change in your life? Is it highlighting a need that's not being met? Is it pointing you towards a deeper truth about yourself?" Remember, emotions are like messengers from your soul. They're trying to communicate something important to you. So, listen closely, decipher their messages, and let them guide you towards a more authentic and fulfilling life. Of course, this doesn't mean you should let your emotions rule your life. You still need to use your rational mind to make wise decisions. But by honoring your emotions and listening to their messages, you can gain valuable insights that can help you navigate life's challenges and make choices that are truly aligned with your heart's desires. 19. Recording your emotions. All right, let's talk about journaling, but not the kind where you just write about your day. We're talking about an emotional journal, a place where you can track your feelings, dig deeper into their roots, and start to see patterns emerge. It's like being your own emotional detective, uncovering the clues to your inner world. Now you might be thinking, "Journaling, that's so old school." But trust me, it's a powerful tool for self-awareness and emotional growth. It's like having a conversation with yourself, but on paper. The ancient philosophers were big fans of journaling. They used it to reflect on their thoughts, feelings, and experiences, and to gain deeper insights into their own minds. So, how do you start an emotional journal? It's simple. Grab a notebook and pen, find a quiet space, and start writing. There's no right or wrong way to do it. Just let your thoughts and feelings flow onto the page. Here are a few prompts to get you started. What am I feeling right now? What triggered this emotion? What thoughts are running through my mind? What physical sensations am I experiencing? What do I need right now? As you write, try to be as honest and open as possible. Don't judge yourself or censor your thoughts. This is your private space to explore your inner world without fear of judgment. Over time, you'll start to see patterns emerge. You might notice certain triggers that consistently lead to specific emotions, or you might identify recurring thought patterns that contribute to negative feelings. This awareness is key to making lasting changes. Remember, your emotional journal is a tool for self-discovery and growth. It's not about perfection or getting it right. It's about showing up for yourself, listening to your emotions, and learning to navigate your inner landscape with greater compassion and understanding. So, grab that notebook, my friends, and start writing your emotional story. You might be surprised at what you discover. 20. Not being good enough. All right, let's talk about that nagging feeling that we're not good enough. You know, that voice in your head that whispers, "You're not smart enough, pretty enough, successful enough." It's like a persistent mosquito buzzing around your self-esteem, leaving you feeling inadequate and insecure. The truth is, we all experience this feeling at some point in our lives. It's part of the human condition, a byproduct of our ego's constant need for validation and comparison. But here's the thing. That feeling of not being good enough is just a story. It's a narrative we create based on our own internalized beliefs and societal expectations. It's not the truth of who we are. The ancient philosophers understood this well. They taught that true worth comes from within, not from external achievements or validation. They emphasized the importance of self-acceptance and self-love, regardless of our perceived flaws or shortcomings. So, how do we overcome this feeling of not being good enough? It starts with challenging those negative thoughts and beliefs. When that inner critic starts whispering its doubts, ask yourself, is this really true? What evidence do I have to support this belief? Often you'll find that those negative thoughts are based on fear and insecurity, not on reality. They're like shadows cast by the ego, distorting your perception of yourself. Next, practice self-compassion. Treat yourself with the same kindness and understanding you would offer a dear friend. Acknowledge your struggles, but also celebrate your strengths and accomplishments. Remember, you are enough, just as you are. You are a unique and valuable individual, with your own gifts and talents to offer the world. Don't let the voice of your ego convince you otherwise. Focus on your progress, not perfection. Celebrate your small victories, learn from your mistakes, and keep moving forward. The more you practice self-acceptance and self-love, the quieter that inner critic will become. So, let's silence that voice of doubt, my friends. Let's embrace our imperfections, celebrate our strengths, and step into our true power. You are worthy, you are capable, and you are enough. 21. Being defensive. All right, let's talk about that prickly feeling of defensiveness. You know, when someone criticizes you or challenges your ideas, and you instantly feel the need to protect yourself, justify your actions, or even lash out, it's like your ego has built a fortress around itself, and any perceived attack triggers the alarms. The truth is, we all get defensive sometimes. It's a natural reaction to feeling threatened or vulnerable. But if we let defensiveness rule our lives, it can create major roadblocks in our relationships and personal growth. The ancient philosophers recognized the dangers of defensiveness. They taught that true strength lies in openness and humility, not in building walls around ourselves. So, how do we overcome defensiveness and cultivate a more open and receptive mindset? It starts with awareness. When you feel that defensive wall going up, pause and ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? What am I afraid of? Often defensiveness stems from a fear of being wrong, judged, or rejected. It's our ego's way of protecting itself from perceived threats. But the irony is, by being defensive, we often end up pushing people away and reinforcing those very fears. Instead of reacting defensively, try to listen with an open mind. Even if you disagree with someone's perspective, try to understand where they're coming from. You might learn something new, or at the very least, you'll show respect for their point of view. Remember, feedback is a gift. It's an opportunity to learn and grow. Instead of seeing criticism as a personal attack, try to see it as a chance to improve and become a better version of yourself. Of course, this doesn't mean you should be a doormat and let people walk all over you. It's important to set boundaries and stand up for yourself when necessary. But do it from a place of calm confidence, not reactive defensiveness. So, let's lower those defenses, my friends. Let's embrace feedback, learn from our mistakes, and cultivate a mindset of openness and growth. The world is full of opportunities to learn and expand, but we have to be willing to let go of our defensiveness and embrace the journey. 22. Stress and worry. All right, let's tackle the twin terrors of modern life, stress and worry. They're like those annoying background noises that just won't quit, constantly buzzing in your ear and draining your energy. Now, we all experience stress and worry from time to time. It's a natural response to challenges and uncertainties. But when it becomes chronic, it can wreak havoc on your health, your relationships, and your overall well-being. The ancient philosophers had a lot to say about stress and worry. They recognized that it's often our thoughts about the future, not the present moment, that cause us the most suffering. So, how do we break free from the grip of stress and worry? It starts with recognizing that most of our worries never actually come true. We spend countless hours agonizing over what-ifs that rarely materialize. Next, try to focus on the present moment. When you find yourself worrying about the future, gently bring your attention back to the here and now. What can you see, hear, feel, taste, and smell in this very moment? Also, practice acceptance. There are some things in life that we simply can't control. Instead of resisting them, try to accept them as they are. This doesn't mean giving up or being passive. It simply means recognizing what is within your control and what isn't. Finally, cultivate a sense of trust in yourself and the universe. You've overcome challenges in the past, and you'll overcome them again. Believe in your ability to handle whatever life throws your way. Remember, stress and worry are often fueled by our own thoughts and perceptions. By shifting our focus to the present moment, practicing acceptance, and cultivating trust, we can break free from their grip and create a more peaceful and joyful life. 23. Caring what people think of you. All right, let's talk about that people-pleasing tendency that so many of us struggle with. You know, that constant worry about what others think of us, that need for approval and validation from the outside world. It's like we're walking around with a giant sign on our backs that says, "Please like me." Now, it's natural to want to be liked and accepted. We're social creatures, after all. But when that desire becomes an obsession, it can lead to all sorts of emotional turmoil. We start making decisions based on what we think others want, rather than what we truly want for ourselves. We become afraid to speak our minds, express our true selves, or take risks, all because we're worried about what others might think. The ancient philosophers warned against this trap. They taught that true freedom comes from living in alignment with your own values and principles, not from seeking the approval of others. So, how do we break free from the need for external validation and cultivate a stronger sense of self-worth? It starts with recognizing that you can't please everyone. No matter what you do, there will always be someone who disagrees with you, criticizes you, or simply doesn't like you. And that's okay. Next, focus on your own values and priorities. What's important to you? What kind of person do you want to be? Make decisions based on those values, not on what you think others expect of you. Remember, your worth doesn't depend on the opinions of others. You are valuable simply because you exist. You have unique gifts and talents to offer the world, and your voice deserves to be heard. Practice self-acceptance and self-love. Embrace your quirks, your flaws, and your imperfections. They're what make you unique and beautiful. Finally, surround yourself with people who love and accept you for who you are, not for who they want you to be. These are the people who will support you, encourage you, and celebrate your authentic self. So let's ditch that people-pleasing mentality, my friends. Let's embrace our true selves, speak our minds, and live in alignment with our own values. The world needs your unique light to shine. 24. Resentment. All right, let's talk about that bitter taste of resentment. You know, that feeling of holding a grudge, replaying past hurts, and feeling like someone owes you something. It's like carrying around a heavy backpack full of rocks, weighing you down and preventing you from moving forward. The truth is, we all experience resentment from time to time. It's a natural reaction to feeling wronged or unfairly treated. But if we let resentment fester, it can poison our relationships, our health, and our overall well-being. It's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. The ancient philosophers warned against the dangers of resentment. They taught that forgiveness and letting go are essential for inner peace and happiness. So, how do we release resentment and free ourselves from its grip? It starts with acknowledging the hurt. Don't try to suppress it or pretend it doesn't exist. Allow yourself to feel the pain, the anger, the sadness. Next, try to understand the situation from the other person's perspective. Maybe they didn't intend to hurt you. Maybe they were acting out of their own pain or insecurity. This doesn't excuse their behavior, but it can help you cultivate compassion and understanding. Remember, forgiveness doesn't mean condoning the behavior or forgetting what happened. It simply means releasing the negative emotions attached to the event and choosing to move forward. Finally, focus on the present moment. Resentment keeps us stuck in the past, replaying old hurts and grievances. By shifting our focus to the present, we can create space for healing and new possibilities. It's important to note that forgiveness is a process, not a one-time event. It may take time and effort to fully release resentment, especially if the wound is deep. But with patience and self-compassion, you can free yourself from its grip and create a more peaceful and joyful life. So, let's drop those heavy backpacks, my friends. Let's forgive, let go, and move forward with lightness and grace. The past is gone, the future is unwritten, and the present moment is all we have. At 25, jealousy. All right, let's talk about that green-eyed monster, jealousy. You know that feeling, right? When you see someone else with something you want, a better job, a nicer car, a more loving relationship, and you feel that pang of envy, that sense of, why not me? Jealousy is a tricky emotion. it can be a powerful motivator, pushing us to strive for more and achieve our goals. But it can also be destructive, leading to resentment, bitterness, and even sabotage. The ancient philosophers recognized the dangers of jealousy. They saw it as a form of self-inflicted suffering, a poison that eats away at our happiness and contentment. So, how do we tame the green-eyed monster and cultivate a more peaceful and grateful heart? It starts with recognizing that jealousy is often rooted in comparison. We compare our lives, our achievements, our possessions to those of others, and we come up short. But here's the thing. Comparison is a trap. It's like trying to measure the ocean with a teaspoon. There will always be someone who has more, who's achieved more, who seems to have it all. If we focus on what we lack, we'll always feel inadequate. Instead of comparing yourself to others, focus on your own journey. Celebrate your own successes, no matter how small they may seem. Appreciate the unique gifts and talents you bring to the world. Practice gratitude for what you have, rather than focusing on what you lack. There's always something to be grateful for, even in the midst of challenges. Remember, jealousy is a sign that you desire something. Instead of letting it consume you, use it as fuel to pursue your own goals and dreams. Channel that energy into creating the life you want, rather than resenting those who already have it. Finally, cultivate a sense of abundance. There's enough success, love, and happiness to go around for everyone. Your success doesn't diminish anyone else's, and their success doesn't diminish yours. So, let's tame that green-eyed monster, my friends. Let's focus on our own journeys, celebrate our own successes, and cultivate a mindset of gratitude and abundance. There's so much beauty and joy to be found in this world, but we have to be willing to let go of jealousy and embrace our own unique path. 26. Depression. All right, let's talk about a heavy one. Depression. Now, this isn't just feeling a bit down or having a bad day. Depression is a serious condition that affects millions of people worldwide. It's like being stuck in a dark tunnel, where even the smallest glimmer of light seems out of reach. The truth is, depression is complex and multifaceted. It can be caused by a combination of factors, including genetics, brain chemistry, life events, and even our own thought patterns. The ancient philosophers didn't have a specific term for depression, but they certainly recognized the experience of profound sadness and despair. They offered various perspectives on how to cope with such feelings, emphasizing the importance of self-awareness, acceptance, and finding meaning in life. So how do we navigate the darkness of depression and find our way back to the light? It starts with seeking help. If you're struggling with depression, please reach out to a mental health professional. They can provide support, guidance, and treatment options that can make a world of difference. In addition to professional help, there are things you can do on your own to support your journey to healing. Practice self-compassion. Be kind to yourself. Depression is not a sign of weakness or failure. It's a treatable condition, and you deserve love and support. Focus on small steps. Don't try to tackle everything at once. Start with small, achievable goals, like getting out of bed, taking a shower, or going for a short walk. Connect with others. Isolation can worsen depression. Reach out to trusted friends, family members, or support groups. Sharing your struggles can be incredibly healing. Engage in activities you enjoy. Even if you don't feel like it, try to do things that used to bring you joy. It might be listening to music, reading a book, or spending time in nature. Take care of your physical health. Eat nutritious foods, exercise regularly, and get enough sleep. these basic self-care practices can have a profound impact on your mood and overall well-being. Remember, depression is not a life sentence. With the right support and self-care practices, you can find your way out of the darkness and back into the light. You are strong, you are resilient, and you deserve to live a happy and fulfilling life. 27. Fear, discomfort. All right, let's talk about the dynamic duo that can hold us back from living our best lives, fear and discomfort. They're like those pesky shadows that follow us around, whispering doubts and anxieties in our ears. Now, fear and discomfort are natural human emotions. They're designed to protect us from danger and keep us safe. But sometimes they can become overprotective, holding us back from taking risks, pursuing our dreams, and stepping outside our comfort zones. The ancient philosophers recognized the importance of facing our fears and embracing discomfort. They saw it as a necessary part of growth and self-discovery. So, how do we overcome fear and discomfort and step into our full potential? It starts with recognizing that fear is often based on illusion, not reality. Our minds tend to exaggerate the potential consequences of taking risks, creating worst-case scenarios that rarely come true. Next, try to reframe discomfort as a sign of growth. When you step outside your comfort zone, it's natural to feel a bit uneasy. But that discomfort is a sign that you're learning, expanding, and evolving. Remember, the greatest rewards in life often lie on the other side of fear. By facing our fears and embracing discomfort, we open ourselves up to new experiences, opportunities, and possibilities. Here are a few tips for overcoming fear and discomfort. Start small. Don't try to conquer your biggest fear all at once. Take small steps, gradually exposing yourself to the things that make you uncomfortable. Focus on your breath. When fear or discomfort arises, take a few deep breaths. This can help calm your nervous system and bring you back to the present moment. Visualize success. Imagine yourself overcoming your fear and achieving your goals. Visualization can be a powerful tool for building confidence and motivation. Surround yourself with supportive people. Share your fears and challenges with people who believe in you and will encourage you along the way. Celebrate your courage. Every time you step outside your comfort zone, acknowledge your bravery and celebrate your progress. Remember, fear and discomfort are not roadblocks, they're stepping stones. By facing them head-on, you can unlock your full potential and create a life that's truly extraordinary. 28. Procrastination. All right, let's talk about that sneaky little habit that loves to derail our plans and leave us feeling guilty. Procrastination. You know the drill. That deadline is looming, but instead of tackling the task, you find yourself scrolling through social media, organizing your sock drawer, or suddenly feeling an intense urge to bake a cake. The truth is, we all procrastinate sometimes. It's a natural human tendency to avoid tasks that feel unpleasant, challenging, or overwhelming. But when procrastination becomes a chronic pattern, it can lead to missed opportunities, increased stress, and a whole lot of self-criticism. The ancient philosophers didn't have the term procrastination, but they certainly understood the struggle of delaying action and succumbing to distractions. They emphasized the importance of discipline, focus, and living in alignment with your values. So, how do we break free from the procrastination trap and cultivate a more proactive and productive mindset? It starts with understanding the root causes of your procrastination. Are you afraid of failure? Are you feeling overwhelmed by the task at hand? Are you simply lacking motivation? Once you identify the underlying causes, you can start to develop strategies to address them. If you're afraid of failure, try breaking the task down into smaller, more manageable steps. If you're feeling overwhelmed, create a clear plan and timeline. If you're lacking motivation, find ways to make the task more enjoyable or rewarding. Remember, procrastination is often a symptom of deeper emotional issues. By addressing those underlying causes, you can free yourself from the cycle of delay and create a more empowered and fulfilling life. Here are a few tips to help you overcome procrastination. Set clear goals and deadlines. Break down large tasks into smaller, more manageable steps. Create a routine. Establish a consistent schedule for work and play. Eliminate distractions. Turn off your phone, close unnecessary tabs, and find a quiet workspace. Reward yourself. Celebrate your successes, no matter how small. Practice self-compassion. Don't beat yourself up if you slip up. Just acknowledge it, learn from it, and move on. Remember, overcoming procrastination is a journey, not a destination. It takes time, effort, and self-compassion. But with the right tools and strategies, you can break free from its grip and create a life filled with purpose, productivity, and joy. 29. Lack of motivation. All right, let's talk about that feeling of being stuck in the mud, that lack of motivation that can make even the simplest tasks feel like climbing Mount Everest. We've all been there, right? That feeling of, I just can't be bothered, or what's the point? Now, motivation isn't some magical force that strikes us out of the blue. It's more like a fire that needs to be stoked and tended to. And sometimes that fire can dwindle down to embers, leaving us feeling lost and directionless. The ancient philosophers understood the importance of motivation and purpose. They believed that having a clear sense of why we're doing something is essential for sustained action and fulfillment. So, how do we reignite that fire within and find the motivation to pursue our goals and dreams? It starts with connecting with your values. What's truly important to you? What kind of impact do you want to make in the world? When your actions are aligned with your values, motivation naturally flows. Next, set clear and meaningful goals. Having a target to aim for can give you a sense of purpose and direction. Break down those big goals into smaller, more manageable steps, so you can see progress and feel a sense of accomplishment along the way. Remember, motivation is often fueled by a sense of progress and achievement. Celebrate your small wins, acknowledge your efforts, and don't be afraid to reward yourself along the way. Also, find ways to make the journey enjoyable. If you're dreading a task, try to find ways to make it more fun or interesting. Put on some upbeat music, break it down into smaller chunks, or find a way to gamify it. Finally, don't be afraid to ask for help. Sometimes we all need a little boost from our friends, family, or mentors. Surround yourself with people who believe in you and will cheer you on. Remember, motivation is not a fixed state. It ebbs and flows like the tides. But by connecting with your values, setting clear goals, celebrating your progress, and finding joy in the journey, you can cultivate a sustainable source of motivation that will propel you towards your dreams. All right, my friends, we've reached the end of our journey together, exploring the fascinating and sometimes frustrating world of emotions. We've talked about the ancient philosophers, the science of the brain, and most importantly, the practical tools you can use to master your emotional well-being. Remember, emotions are not your enemy. They're messengers, guides, and even teachers, if you're willing to listen. They can show you what you truly value, what needs to change in your life, and where you need to heal. But they can also be tricky little devils, especially when we let our survival instincts or our egos take the wheel. That's when we get caught up in negativity, resentment, and self-doubt. The good news is, you have the power to choose. You can choose to let your emotions control you, or you can choose to master them. You can choose to react automatically, or you can choose to respond consciously. It takes practice, my friends. It takes awareness, self-compassion, and a willingness to do the inner work. But I promise you, it's worth it. When you master your emotions, you unlock a whole new level of freedom, peace, and joy. You become the captain of your own ship, navigating the ups and downs of life with grace and resilience. So, keep practicing, keep learning, and keep growing. Remember, you're not alone in this journey. We're all in this together. And together, we can create a world where emotional well-being is not just a luxury, but a way of life. Now go out there and shine, my friends. You've got this.